Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me, Ron?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, well, you and I will
talk. I think Jeremiah is on, too.
I'm on as well.
Hey, Jeremiah. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Man's Voice here on Saturday, March 18th. All right. There might be some technical problems. I don't feel bad because I was listening to NPR earlier, and they were having technical problems, too, so I don't know what's causing all these issues. But might have some issues tonight with our show, but if you do and you're listening in, please hang on down there with us. We still have a good time. I want to welcome the panelists. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, David.
Oh, can't complain too much here.
All right. There's just so much going on in terms of our president, and I really, you know, don't want to turn the show into an all political show, but with all the things going on, and there are positives and negatives on both sides. But I know that we have some of both sides on our show, so I just want to get into the panelists and talk about things that they're thinking and what we are doing. And then at the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit more about stuff that I received, emails and things. There was a lot of comments from the show last week. I want to get into some of that later on. But, okay, Bruce, I know that you're having some issues and might not be with us long, but do you have comments you want to make? I know we talked a little bit last week.
I heard about a tenth of what you said, David. Did you want me to bring up a topic?
Yes.
That's better. That's much better. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up last week, I'll bring up now, is, and I asked my pastor this at church today to get his input. Why do we think, and your callers, your listeners too, why do we think that Christianity per se, as a entity religion, is in such verbal attack lately, such visual attack, I should say? There's always been people that approve and disapprove of Christianity, but it seems to me like it's on a much higher plane of attack right now. Does anybody else sense that, and if so, why? Because I haven't got a clue, really.
I have a comment about that. I think I think it's just not just in this country, but I think especially in Europe, and I don't know about other parts of the world, but I have heard in Europe that atheism is growing, and I think people nowadays are more skeptical, and you know times change, societies change, morals change, people are more accepting, and you know, unfortunately, Christianity really has not evolved, I think, at all, or especially not at the same pace as society has. You know, there's other religions that are a lot more accepting, open, and not as rigid and, you know, stuck in their ways, so to speak, as and I'm talking about Catholicism in particular. But I do have to make the comment, though, that the new Pope, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he is much more progressive than Pope John Paul II. So I do have to say that. And maybe that's a good thing, because I think, I don't know this to be a fact, but I think I've heard that Christianity is actually losing membership instead of growing. Again, I don't know if that's a fact, but has anybody else heard that?
Ron, let me answer, just add one more thing to that, and then anybody else. To what you said, Ron, this is Bruce. The comment I heard today at church was kind of along the lines you said, that too many other religions see Christianity as it's your way or the highway. It's too rigid, which is what you said, that that there is no other higher deity in the heavens. And Christianities believe there's only one way, of course. But maybe that's, I heard that twice now in the same day, that maybe that's why Christianity, because of its steadfastness in one way and no other way, is getting negative pushback from other religions. Is that what I heard you say?
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think societies have evolved, and you know, people are looking for more tolerance and more acceptance of different groups, and you know, Christianity is very, and I'm Catholic, you know, but I don't go to church on a regular basis, and I don't agree with a lot of the things that I hear when I do go. So you know, I'm on the fence, and I could easily be one that becomes a I can't think of the religion right now, but it's almost like Catholicism, but the priest can marry, and which religion am I thinking about? Episcopalian. I'm actually, you know, have for a while now been thinking of Episcopalian, because I think it's a lot more along my lines of thinking than Catholics.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to contribute. This is.
Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there are other religions in the world, and God thought theories of God all over the world, such as one large publication is the people who practice, who are considered called Muslims, okay? And there are people that are Sikhs. There are people that – so these other religions are competing with Christianity as well, and some of these religions have a mono God in their deity, and some do not. So I think, from you know, I'm a faithful Catholic, you know, have been for greater than 40 years or more. I have been to other churches as I grew up, Episcopalian, you know, which is, and I have been to Baptists, and I have been to Methodists, and I work with a board of people that make up a wide section of different faiths that include Judaism. So these are all competing factors. I don't think that Christianity has lived up to its full potential. And I think that's one of its bigger problems and everything, because, you know, a lot of people have had Christianity pushed down their throat, and they are revolting against it in many forms, in many ways, such as, you know, women in the church are not in the hierarchical, you know, authority in the church, and don't have a authoritative church in the, you know, in the Episcopal church they do, but in the church of Catholic church they do not. And so I think that's the biggest factor. It hasn't lived up to its potential. Some of the bad people in the world align themselves with, you know, I'm a Christian. For instance, last week there was a photograph out showing an old photograph of, in Oregon, showing these people dressed up as Ku Klux Klan with the inscription, large letters, and behind it says Jesus Saves or something to that effect. So that's my thing. Yeah. And we are losing members all over whatever denomination. We are losing members. That's one of the problems in the Afro-American community, is that we have more unchurched people than ever. And that's a growing number. And it's because Christianity has not lived up to its potential.
Well, one of the things, Frank, I think your observation is correct. But then I think, as you were talking, both you and Ron, from a Christianity point of view, without pushing it down somebody's throat, is, doesn't it start with the individual? The if Christianity is going to be better served and better accepted and better whatever, it's got to be done by the individual and the way they behave and how they are used as an instrument of a Christian God, don't they?
Yeah, they
yes,
got to be
I
a
think
good
that's
example.
The problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is there? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that what I don't see religion as being the same as it was. There was a time when we all would go to church for our minister to minister to us. People don't do that anymore. I think these major mega churches, I went to church a couple of weeks ago, and the whole service was about money. And then the religions have not come out and fought against things that the society is fighting against. You don't see religions now against hate. I mean, there's a lot of hate coming out, but you don't see religions telling us how to combat that religiously. And you see all these big billboards with all these ministers and their pictures, and so you know the money isn't going to the poor, and it isn't going to service the community as we as spiritually feel it should be. So I think religion has took a spin for not the best. Religion is not like it used to be. We felt spiritual when we went in churches. I don't think we're getting that from our ministers or from our churches. And even as a Roman Catholic, I'm sitting here going, how can they have all this gold and everyone's wearing all this thing and I'm kissing the ring and everything? It reminds me of kings and queens. I think the religion the way it was, with we felt going to church gave us a spiritual feeling, and I don't think people are getting that anymore.
And I think a little bit of that, at least down here in South Florida, is the places of worship themselves. And I don't know if it's the same in other parts of the country, but at least down here, you've got churches, what they call quote unquote churches or places of worship, in strip malls, in you know, warehouse districts. And I'm like, why would I go there? You know, if I'm going to go there, I mean, I used to like going to a quote-unquote real church when I was young with my mom, because like you said, David, I felt spiritual and I felt something. But why am I going to go to a warehouse district, or why am I going to go to a strip mall, to one location that calls itself a church? You know, I can do that at home, and I can easily just as well pray at home and be religious at home. So I think that's part of it.
And I also think that's what people are doing. They're taking church inside themselves. We took religion out of the schools, so we don't say prayers anymore, so kids don't hear that anymore. I don't see in restaurants, you would see families saying the blessing over the meal. They're not getting to do that anymore because there's no spiritualness from the churches and from the deities that are there to give it to us are not giving it to us anymore. So I think a lot of ministers are now working as jobs rather than people that got a spirit from God to teach religion.
Well, do you think, David and Jeremiah, pipe in if you're out there. I think you are. Do you think we're getting too lazy? We don't want to go to church. We don't want to do this. We don't. Or is it that we're turning more towards material things and our own, we can save ourselves kind of thing versus the old time religion we used to follow? What do you think, Jeremiah?
I think that the church became more of a business, honestly. If I wanted to own my own business, you know, I would probably work and try to make it work, do both until it gets to a certain level. But you have a lot of pastors out here, they depend on the church. So the church is paying his bills at home, the church bills. So when you go to church, just like David said a little earlier, it's pretty much all about paying the finances of the church. And then sometimes they send their members out to do fundraising, you know, just to pay the bills of the pastor and the bills of the church. So I just find it hard to believe if we can do two things simultaneously to make things work, why can't a pastor do it? Why does the congregation have to take care of you when you're just now starting out your church? Why you can't do it for 5 years, do both, work your job and be a pastor until you get your church to that level, and you put less strain and hardship on your members. And then another thing is, I think a lot of nowadays, the younger generation, the younger culture, we go to church and we expect, you know, we give our offering and tithes or something, and then the pastor, you know, he prays you a blessing. So it's more of we're going to church to try to get that. We want that car. Let me do what my pastor says so I can get that car. Let me do what my pastor says so I can get that home. You know, it's not more of living right by God and get my blessings that are due to me just for my everyday life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I understand.
That's not good.
That prosperity theology.
Ministers have set examples. For example,
and then,
in Miami,
and then I've seen a,
there's a minister.
I've seen a pastor who has 4 or 5 cars. You know?
Yes.
Like, what do you really need? A Hummer, Mercedes, a Jaguar, you know, BMW. How much time are you spending, since you don't work, how much time are you going out spending in your community, helping the homeless, helping the kids, back to school,
right.
Back to school drives, you know? And a lot of them, they like to open up preschools because, you know, that's funds. That's, they like to open up preschools and daycares, and it's a part of the church. You know, but that's an easy way to get a couple $1,000 a month. It's a business. Here we go again.
Well, it is a business, but the daycare system also allows one of the things that the Christianity has gotten away from, particularly the Catholic Church, is actually evangelization. All right, so you don't get any new people unless you evangelize them. And that's what the daycare centers allow, that type of thing. When I was a child, in the neighborhood that I lived in, we had missionaries that came into that neighborhood all summer, for instance. They would rent a house out in the neighborhood, and they would have Bible study. But more importantly, with that Bible study, they had refreshments, cookies, punch, ice cream, and everything else. So we as kids, I didn't miss any sessions, okay? And I learned a lot about, you know, Christianity and the Christian stories. So that's one of the things that is missing, is that people don't go out and evangelize. And that's partly that example story that you just told about people themselves not willing to be the example, the Christ example. And this prosperity theology part is the part where you come in and get your blessings, you know, by giving your money. And then I'm going to make things good through God for you. You know, that's kind of a mythology type of worshiping.
Yeah. And I heard something last week that really I had never heard before, and again, I'd like to hear comments from you guys if it makes any sense to you. I heard that, let's see, how do I put it? If you think of the worst part of yourself, the thing you like the least, the thing you're most ashamed of, or just think it's the weakest part of you, and you honestly ask for or try to get redemption for that weakness, that will become your biggest asset. So in my mind, Christianity is speaking to me in the fact that if you identify the worst part of you or the thing you like the least, and try and truly work on that through your beliefs, that will become your biggest asset. And I thought that was, I've never heard it put that way before. Have any of you?
I have not.
No, I found that rather interesting.
I have not.
Go ahead, friend. Yeah. Anybody got a comment on that one way or the other, or is that a bunch of you-know-what?
Well, I tell you what, I want to change the speed a little bit here. We've talked about church, and I think we're coming up on Easter Sunday, and I know that I don't get the spiritualness of it like I used to. I get more commercialism from the stores. I don't even see people buying their kids Easter clothes anymore. It used to be a big thing to go to church, be dressed.
Get dressed
anyway,
up. Yep.
Yeah. I want to move on, though. I haven't heard from John. John, what are you thinking? I know you got some comments. I mean, we have a lot of political stuff going on. I know you keep up with it. What do you want to talk about?
You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of sitting here listening to everybody else. I mean, I'm Catholic too. My wife isn't, and we go to her church 95% of the time. I think a lot of the religions now, especially the Catholic religion, I think there's a lot of confusion with some of the members that, you know, that belong. I mean, we've got, you know, people that call themselves Catholics and everything else, but yet they'll support a person who's for, you know, abortions in the third trimester. You know, and so that's always been puzzling to me is, you know, you can call yourself a Catholic and everything else, but then you turn around and you support the, you know, the killing of an innocent unborn kid. And, you know, we talk gun control and that type of stuff, but we all know that, you know, there's more unborn kids killed every year in abortion than there is, you know, at the hands of firearms. So that's my only comment on that. One of the things I was looking at over the past week was that average Americans have only $10,000 saved for their retirement. And, you know, when you start looking at the you know, the facts and everything else, it's like, you know, how are these people planning on retiring? I mean, I'm 50, what am I, 52. I could have retired at the age of 40. I did it a different way to be able to, you know, save and everything else and become, you know, pretty much financially independent at you know, 40 years old, actually 35. But I think today with everybody and the new, you know, products and everything that comes out, everybody's got to have the best and biggest and, you know, everything else. And, you know, if everyone's banking on Social Security for an income, I mean, you're looking at $1,400, you know, a month or $1,700 a month, I think is the max. You know, how are people going to survive when you've got, you know, health care and you've got other types of bills and stuff? You know, I think we're doing a poor choice or a poor thing here of educating people on, you know, and it used to be back. I know when I was 35 years old, they said if you hit $1 million, you know, you could easily retire. Well, yeah, that was, you know, 20 some years ago. That's not the case anymore. Unless you've got $5 or $6 million in the bank, you can't even think about retiring. Just because of the costs and everything else, and what it costs to you know, with healthcare and you know, I'm hearing customers are paying almost $10,000 a month for retirement homes, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. So that was just one of the things that really struck me. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. People don't have $10,000 in their savings account for retirement, and these are people in their 40s and 50s. So you know, that was just one of the things that kind of took me. It's like, man, you know, I wouldn't have guessed that, you know, it was that low.
Can even I respond lower than to that? It's even lower than that, John.
Yeah, can
it's,
I respond?
It's incredible.
Sure, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, there are a couple things. First of all, Social Security can be much higher than $1,700 a month. All right, and I know that because I receive much higher amounts than that. Almost double, probably. Okay, so it
but even $3,400 a month,
well,
isn't. I mean, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's not enough. When you look at when if you if
well,
you've let, got a nursing home or something like that. I mean, we've already got our funerals prepaid for. You know, so that's not going to be a burden on anybody else. But you know, you also have to look at too is that you know, if somebody, depending on, I mean, right now, I would end up having to pay this death tax, you know, that they're talking about, where I could almost lose 50% of what I've accumulated because, you know, I died. And, you know, so I don't know. It's just.
Well, let me correct. I'd like to address a couple points that you brought out. One is the Catholic thing. Okay. I don't want to be your minister or your pastor, okay? But you can't be a Roman Catholic unless you attend church on a regular basis, all right?
No, actually,
secondly,
it's twice a year. You have to go to, you have to receive communion during Easter, and you have to also have a confession during the Easter season.
Well, that's once a year. That particular requirement is a recommendation, but to be a Roman Catholic, and you can look this up, you've got to attend church each and every Sunday, unless you have some physical. Okay, so I'm not going to argue with you on that because I'm pretty well steeped in working the church administration. But
well,
I
tell
you,
I'm
not.
Pretty too because my parents right now, when the bishop Cardinal Maida here from Detroit was a cardinal, they were on the plane with him to Rome. Half of our family friends are all priests in the Saginaw Diocese. So believe me, for some reason, I was no longer a Catholic anymore. They would clue me in.
Let me finish my thing, okay? First of all, you started off with the abortion issue, all right? Have you heard of the consistent ethic of life, what that is in the Roman Catholic Church?
Nope.
A seamless garment. Okay, well, first of all, if you think of a quilt, all life is important. Just like we say, black lives matter, white lives matter, pink lives, all lives matter. So if you vote for someone who believes in the death penalty, then that's a problem in the Catholic Church. It may not be a problem to some old-time Catholics, but in fact, you know, with Vatican II and beyond, that's a problem. So that's the problem of why we have people in the church who are not going to vote Republican, because Republicans advocate non-abortion, and the Democrats say abortion is a woman's right if that's what they want to do. But there's other issues besides babies. There's issues on death penalty. There's issues on war, which is another factor. And these have been updated since your parents became Catholics, okay? And so you look at the National Catholic Conference of Bishops in the United States, which governs the United States Catholicity. That's where those issues emanate from. So the issue is yes, there are Catholics who do not vote because we're supposed to vote with our conscience. There is no prohibition against a Catholic voting for instance, a Democrat. Right there. There is no prohibition against a Catholic voting for a Republican. And there is a war in the church. About 50% of the people who sit in the Catholic seats, you know, vote Democrat and 50% of them vote Republican. All right. So, and not everybody participates in the March on Life. And not everybody in the Catholic Church, I think everybody that's a Catholic believes in the sanctity of life. And that means that you don't do abortions and you don't execute people and you don't take guns, AR-15s, and shoot kids up. And you don't take AR-15s and protect yourself against someone else. All right. So that's where the problem is. That's where one of the biggest problems about Christianity in itself is that contradiction. All right. And we had that when we just made our last saint, the saint out in California, that he was involved with the Native Americans. And so a lot of people did not want to see him as a saint because they thought that he was harsh on these Native Americans. The second part I wanted to tell you is that I think most people in the United States don't make enough income to worry, be concerned about their retirement. And if you look at these Walmart and these places, you'll see that people are working past their 70s. And they're doing that so they can bring in some income to facilitate their living. And we've got a hell of a lot of homeless people on the streets. That's it for me.
I'm sorry. One of the things that I think about what you just said is, yes, but the Roman Catholic religion has been losing members, and they're very cautious about where all these members, why they're losing them, what are they doing. And I think they haven't done a very good job of taking care of their flocks.
Well, we've grown in the South. The Roman Catholic faith has grown in the southern states. There's a reason for that, but it has grown in the South.
Yes, but nationally, I'm talking about nationally. They're losing.
They're
losing people. And I think
one way you want to be able to change this would be able to allow the priest to be married. I mean, I know that's controversial and everything else, but you know, we've got a situation up here in area where I grew up that we just had a Catholic priest who has now been arrested for, you know, sexual assault on a couple of teenage kids. And ironically, he was my pastor when I was a senior in high school. So, you know, I think that you have a lot of people being turned off because of the cover-ups that were happening through all of these years, where they would take these priests and they would hide them someplace else, and they would not go after the problem. And I think some people just got sick and tired of it.
Do you know why Catholic priests are not allowed to get married?
I have no idea.
I do. Yeah, I know why.
Okay, let me hear you, Frank. What do you think the reason is?
Yeah. Well, it's because of the land that the Catholic Church owns. That's exactly the bishops were originally married in the old days, right after
yes.
Jesus left the earth, okay? But the problem comes up with when you have children is the division of the land and the inheritance of the land. So by not having any marriages, you don't have to worry. Because if you've ever looked at land that's owned by the church, it's all owned in the bishop's name of the diocese that church is in. So if it's in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee diocese, bishop of that diocese, owns all that land. And so if you had
right.
children involved in it, then you would have inheritance.
Correct. It was all about family. They didn't want this. But I'm getting a lot of comments from people saying, time to change subject. Okay. I want to talk about something I saw, and I thought it was an interesting comment. There's a school in I think it's Virginia. I think it's where you are, Frank. And the teacher is an elementary school. The teacher married and has a picture of the wedding and him kissing the person he married. And it's
yeah, there is. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, no. It was a man who married another man.
Yeah, I figured that out, David.
Him, right, and so it's sitting on his desk. So
well, David,
the parents are up in arms about this. And in my mind, I'm saying, well, if they tell him he can't do it, then it's going to come out as a lawsuit, and nobody will be able to, in that school, be able to celebrate their relationships or marriages in the schools anymore.
Well,
it's
the couple,
crazy.
The couple in Virginia took... This couple in Virginia, not that particular one, but the couple in Virginia, the local area that I live in, went to the Supreme Court, and they won the case that allows people to marry, you know, the same-sex people to marry each other, okay? That one of them is a professor at the college here, and one of them was a realtor, a big-time realtor, okay? And they won that. So, you know, we have sailors coming in on the ships, and they have the news clips, you know, where they're hugging and kissing, where they used to be the guy and the girl kissing, and now we have the boy and the boy kissing, or the girl and the girl kissing. Now that's been 4 or 5 years ago. Okay, now it wasn't exactly enticing to me to watch that, but you know, as a former sailor, etc. But the world has changed. The Episcopal Church, for instance, has gay priests and bishops. That's one of the reasons why the Church of England has separated themselves from the Episcopal Church. You know, and some churches have become the Church of England directly, even though they're always affiliated. So people being gay, having pictures on their desks, lip locking each other, or doing other sexual things that they may want to do. So if you're in a conservative area out in the western part of the state, you're probably going to have some problems with that. All right. If you're in Norfolk, we have a kid right now. It's a Supreme Court case where the kid wants to use a certain bathroom. That's coming right out of Virginia, also about 70 or 80 miles from here. So that case is, you know, had some lower court opinions and decisions, et cetera. But yes, people being married the same sex and having pictures is a right that's going to probably be upheld by the Supreme Court, as it was that allows people to get married.
Well,
whether parents right,
the
whether parents.
But... Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead, Ron. I hear Ron.
Jeremiah.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's Jeremiah. Go ahead.
But my, I understand everything Frank just said, but you have to take into consideration that these are our children. You said elementary school. So if this was the professor or teacher's home, that he have a right to privacy and everything else, I completely understand. But why is it so significant? And let me repeat, so significant where you have to bring it to class, and then you have 30 kids that are trying to understand that picture. So basically, the attention diverts from learning something today to, why is my teacher kissing this guy in the picture? And I see this every day. Teacher, professor, can you explain this to us? Right? So, and your child's in an environment that they can't control, that you can't control as a parent, because they're in school. I mean, they're there for 7-8 hours while you're at work. You can't control anything. But I think that, I understand if his significant other have passed away or something like that, but he goes home and sees his significant other, his guy, every day. So why is it so significant? You have to put it on your desk. You can put it in your car. That's personal. You know, you can have it at home. That's, you can have it in your locker. You can sit on your break. But why should you have to impede these children's minds of things of this nature? I mean, on TV, that's a different story. You know, it's going to be
okay,
out there.
Well, then,
but in a classroom
Jeremiah,
setting,
I have a question.
Yes.
Would you allow a man and woman, or a woman, to put her picture of her and her husband kissing on her desk?
No. The only thing, if
no.
I was a professor, if I was a principal of a school, the only thing I would allow is your children. If you are an adult, you're a professor, I would allow your children to be on your desk, or previous students. No kissing on even if it was same sex, no kissing, because you're showing children too much.
I agree with Jeremiah.
Don't get me wrong. They might see mom and dad kiss, don't get me wrong, but that's in a different setting. That's something that they expect. Okay, mom loves dad. He take care of us.
The mom and the dad are both the same sex?
No, I don't agree.
And
especially kissing. No.
Well, what I'm telling you is that there are kids that come to school that their parent is of the same sex, two females or two males. And they're
kissing
each other.
Yeah, but that's a low minority. That's, you know, that's the minority shoving it down the majority's face.
Exactly. So if you got 30 kids, how many of them have that at home?
But isn't it something you
might have 30 kids that might not have one?
Hey, you know why we don't have any more prayers? This is why we don't have outward prayer in school. You can pray privately. You know, this is why we don't have it, because your religion is not someone else's religion. Your belief, your sexual belief is not someone else's sexual belief, okay? And that's why this Christianity, et cetera, is broken down, and that's why we're having this discussion right now about a picture on a desk. Because your belief system is not that person has the picture on the desk. Their belief system is they're as normal as you are who has a heterosexual relationship, okay? But that's their belief is different than yours. And what they're actually doing – yeah. I used to carry my girlfriend's picture, who's my wife, on my desk, and you know, if that was my desk where I spent 8 hours a day, I probably want to look at it, all right. And he probably wants to look at somebody he loves, although that person he loves happens to be a guy.
Yeah, but honestly, that's a plain old picture. But kissing, come on, like that's too much for the kids. If you want to go to a high school, it'll be.
But Jeremiah, I'm like. I can't believe what I'm hearing in the 21st century in America. I mean, Jeremiah, you're implying that same-sex marriage is wrong when you say that, you know,
I didn't say that.
Yes, but you didn't say it, but you're implying it.
I agree. What
you know,
I said
if,
was.
If you're going to take, let me finish, if you're going to take a same-sex couple and take the picture down, then you got to do it for straight couples too, in my mind. I heard Sean say that, I'm fine with that. You know,
Ron says stuffing it down our throats.
John said the comment that, you know, the minority shoving it down the throat of the majority. Well, how do you think gay people feel growing up in a world where, you know, they are looked down upon and all you see is straight people walking around holding hands and they can't do that with their couples? Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, this is the same. This is the same as having a racial couple or interracial couple.
But
exactly.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't see that necessarily happening inside of a elementary school. Now we're on. If you're at the Marlins Park, you're at the arena. You're somewhere where adults are 24/7. I completely understand that. But my values are to safeguard children and elderly people.
Don't understand this.
There's nothing wrong with that value. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that value, Jeremiah. Two men kissing each other, you know, in the Catholic Church, there may be something wrong with that value. But in the arena of the public arena, there's nothing wrong with two men kissing each other or two women kissing each other or a combination of men and female. There's nothing wrong. That's an old 3,000-year attitude, you know, that prior to Christ, that men couldn't do this and women couldn't do that. But that's all been thrown out the window.
Thank you, Frank.
In our society.
No, I understand that. And like I said, these people, whoever it is, whether it's male and male, female and male, whatever, you should have respect for children. Because if I'm around my girlfriend and I grope her or put my hand down her pants in front of your kids, you feel like I'm disrespecting you and your children. That's the same thing I would say by someone kissing picture on your desk, is you're doing too much in front of kids.
But Jeremiah, okay. don't you think kids need to learn if that's the environment they're living in? And besides,
at what age?
At what age, David?
Seriously.
What age are you saying kids don't learn?
This could be 8-year old kids. This could be 8-year old kids.
5 years old to learn. So are you saying that teaching them that the world is changing and this is what it looks like is wrong?
You can show them what it looks like without kissing. Am I correct?
Oh, you just showing them kissing.
Exactly.
You can hold hands and everything, right?
You're showing too much affection. I don't even
Okay. Isn't the world suffering from a lack of affection right now?
But listen.
Affection is a learned thing, and that kids should learn the way that society has them to do it correctly.
And I'll say the first question I would say to you
growing up.
The first question I would say to you at what age? The first question I would say at what age? Then my second question would be, if I had a daughter, I don't have any kids, but if I had a daughter, you have to be very careful what you teach kids. Remember, they start learning as far as a year and a half, 2 years old. Exactly what's going on. So if you're teaching your daughter to be extra loving, extra affectionate to a family friend, and we had this discussion before, would I feel comfortable if my daughter would go between my best friend's legs and give him a hug and he'd sit on her lap? That's very inappropriate and disrespectful. So
right. It just comes down to one thing. It's better to be a pitcher than a catcher.
Guys. Oh my goodness.
I don't play baseball. So another thing is the kids.
And
I don't care what adults do.
Well,
listen, I don't care what adults do behind closed doors, in front of closed doors, but if you can respect the children, I'll have the most up respect for you. Regardless
exactly.
of your sexual
I agree that children
or gender you prefer.
And they need to learn. And they need to learn these things at home. But you're trying to give them
David.
A world with no affection and no nothing going on. What kind of child is that going to be?
David,
not
you
too much affection.
You finally came back around to the right source. It should be done at home, but we all know what's happening to the family unit. It's dissolving in too many ways in too many places, but that's truly where these subjects should be at first brought up, and the education starts. It should not start abruptly with someone else, some other place. I agree with you, David.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the kids shouldn't be able to have to come home and say, hey, Mom and Dad, guess what I saw at school today?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
A man
or
and a wife kissing
mom
each other.
Dad,
that's
I mean,
what I saw
even
in school
if,
that,
even,
the way that it is.
One second, guys. Even if you were brought this, you bring this to your kids' attention or your children's attention, and they understand safe sex marriage, you still don't want them to come out like, Mom, guess what I found out today? Oh, my teacher has a boyfriend. He puts him on his desk, and he kisses him every day. Like, he loves him so much. Like, that's still too much.
How would
you're
you
going
explain
to school.
That? Okay, let me ask this question, Jeremiah. How would you explain that to your son or daughter who came home and told you that?
Okay, I would first say, let's just say my daughter or son already knows about same-sex marriage. So I would simply say, yes, honey, that's the same thing that, you know, me and your mom does. We kiss often, but I bet you won't find any photos in my vehicle. Made me kiss my wife. I might have a picture of my wife, but kissing, that's you're going too far when you're dealing with kids. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, if Adam would have married Alex, we'd all be screwed.
Hey, John, we wouldn't be here today, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we wouldn't be here today,
right?
Would we?
Nope, we sure wouldn't.
Well,
we would have had to
run
from monkeys.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about
Ron.
That guy.
I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but I just really care about the kids, man.
I'm not going to say
anything. Kids should be worried about learning, some ABCs, you know, getting A's in school and playing video games and playing in the park. Not freaking worried about my teacher's kissing. Yeah, and they can learn to love. They're going to grow to love how adults love when they become teenagers. Then you can start getting into that more, like 12, 13 years old, I can understand you getting into that more specific. But not at 8, 9 years old, man. 7 years old, that's too young.
And if you have all these abortions and males marrying males and females marrying females, how does the population could grow?
Well, first of all, they've got this test tube babies. We're the capital of that in Virginia. We started that. We have an institute down here, right? So we do in vitro fertilization, in vitro fertilization.
In vitro,
Yeah, so you can have two males having a child now. You can have two females having a child now. And
where does
the
male birth a child?
What they do is they take that's what they do. They go ahead and take the part. They scrape out the part from someone else, a female, contributing female, and then put it in a test tube and do the development process that way. So that's this is year 2018. This is not BC or AD. Okay. So what happens is we've got to update. Hey, look, it's hard. It's hard for me to watch a sailor 5 years ago, two guys kissing each other. Okay. That's real hard. It was on our news channel and it was ran more than one time and it was repulsive at first. But when you think about it, that's the, you know, what that teacher is saying is that I love this person, and they're accommodating, and that's they're also communicating to some child in that classroom who may like the same sex person and may be oriented that way as a child. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. All parents are not capable of doing that. We know a lot of parents aren't that smart.
Well, you're right.
Well,
you're absolutely right. But we'll give the parents a chance first. No outsiders, because you might encourage.
That's why they're not sending kids to public school now. That's your option. Your option is if you don't like the public domain, take your kid to a private school or do homeschooling. All right.
Yeah, but homeschooling, then you got kids who don't know how to socialize with anybody.
Well, Bessie DeVoe is.
Here we go. Jeremiah, you were making a comment just now, and you said by watching this, you might encourage the child to be encouraged to, and you stopped the sentence. And I wanted to hear where you were going to go with that. Are you assuming that kids seeing two of the same sex people doing kissing or something that would encourage the kid to be
You would encourage the kid to start acting on what they see at an early age. Now, don't get me wrong. If my son's 15 years old and he says, Dad, I love dudes. Hey, son, you love dudes. I understand, you know. But at the same time, you got to understand. You got peer pressure. You got
bullying.
Well, some of these kids are going to like guys and girls, and some of them are going to change. Some of these kids are going to like guys. Some of them are going to like girls. Some of them are going to like guys and girls, and they're going to switch off back and forth. That's the world we live in, guys. Okay?
So
the picture is something that you've got to get used to, Jeremiah, because it's nothing but sex. Okay? That's what it is. It's just a three-letter word. Okay? It isn't
okay.
that big
but
of
what
a deal.
Happened, wait, what happened? What about
but now
love?
You're getting
what
away from
because...
the sex and love.
Yeah, what happened about love, man? It's all about it's about affection and love. How we get to sex?
No, that's the Christian teaching that love, that you get married so that you can produce a child. That's the Christian teaching, okay? But that isn't the natural teaching of life in society, I don't believe, okay? So the Christian teaching is just that. You shouldn't have sex unless it's you're married and you are going to produce a child. So theoretically, if you can't produce a child, you shouldn't be having sex, even if you're married. That's the Christian teaching,
okay.
All right?
And David,
so
then
I think we just came
this.
Full circle to why Christianity is going downhill. We've allowed all this other stuff to invade Christianity. I mean, you're talking test tube babies. Now at this point, we can determine, you know, how tall our kid's going to be, what color eyes they're going to be, what color hairs they're going to be, if they're going to be born with any diseases or anything else. Now you're creating a different whole type of world.
It was always that way. The Hawaiians used to kill their babies if their babies were defective. And they're not the only ones that did that in Greece. They did the same thing. But they used to kill their babies, drown their babies at birth if they thought the child was going to have a birth defect. So, you know, it's not necessary that we're creating anything different. It's just that we're making room for different things to happen. Just like their interracial marriage, yada, yada, yada. Okay. We didn't have room for that under the previous standards in our country and in Christianity.
Okay, gentlemen, I want to go back to the original question, which was the parents are protesting this picture that this male teacher has on his desk. Do you believe the school needs to step in and pass a rule? Because I think that's going to happen, and where that goes from there is going to be crazy, because I think then it'll be nobody's allowed to. But you think the school should step in or step out? What do you think, Bruce?
There's no affectionate picture.
David, as you were saying that, I thought of that scenario or that situation you just mentioned as only one incident. So if we were to say – you can't do that, or heaven forbid we got to pass a rule on it, then where does it stop? You can't have certain sayings
right.
in your office. You can't have certain kinds of animals that you may dearly love or hate in your office. I mean, come on.
Not animals. No, come on.
Well,
not animals. But when you're dealing with little children,
Jeremiah, let me finish. All I'm saying is, we're going down this regulation path again. We should, in the privacy of someone's office or someone's home or something, I don't want the government coming to me and saying, you put that picture away, you can't have that staying on your wall, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's got to be regulated by your own professionalism, your own good taste, and if it's way out of line, yeah, they'll find a way to take care of it. But when we start regulating all this stuff, that's crazy.
But the only bad thing
Jeremiah,
is teachers,
one of the
teachers
things
are unfortunate
that
to have an office.
From what you're
so.
Saying is little kids understand. I don't know if you've been around little kids these days, but most little kids are now 30 years old in the mind.
You're right. So
I don't understand
how you're
framing little kids as you shouldn't let them see people kissing and something because it's going to ruin their minds.
And little boys,
it makes them
curious.
Make sense. So would you let your daughter come to you and say, Dad, I don't know. Based on that picture, I want to kiss my friend and see how it feels, Dad. What do you think about that? And she's 7 years old.
She's listening to the radio and Katy Perry saying, I kissed a girl. So she's going to ask the question. You got to be ready to, as men, explain it to them.
Right. Right.
You're right. About what have you found out afterwards from that same teacher that he caught, you know, five girls in the restroom, in the little girl's restroom, all kissing, taking turns based on, and they asked the kids, why did you guys do this today? And they said, oh, we saw, you know, Professor Brown, you know, picture, and he encouraged us to love everyone.
You're taking it to a level that I don't think is going to happen.
But no, you can't say that.
I mean, if the teacher catches girls in their kissing, he needs to handle it like he would handle any other thing. You go get the right authority and the principal.
But if you think about it, if you never brought that picture into his classroom,
explain it to them. You get the
well, there's nothing wrong with two girls kissing.
I think,
Jeremiah, there's nothing by law.
There's nothing wrong
with
it.
Nothing by law.
There's by law. You're right. You're absolutely right. But there's nothing by law that says you should putting your child. That just to me almost it goes into like almost like child neglect, because if you
hey Jeremiah.
Yes.
I have a question for Jeremiah. Jeremiah,
yes,
do you
I'm
think
listening.
You're born gay or do you think you learn to be gay?
Learn. It's both. Both. Both.
Wrong.
Both.
Absolutely not.
You can't tell me if you have 5,000 gay people that all 5,000 were born gay. Absolutely 5,000 were born. That can't
okay,
be accurate.
Jeremiah,
are
you born,
of course they were all born
heterosexual?
Gay.
Or do you learn to be heterosexual?
Exactly.
Both.
Both?
Both.
So both. You were born and you learned. How do you learn to be heterosexual?
Well, it's easy. You got a stick shift and two ball bearings.
Yes, John.
Well, that isn't necessary.
Good.
Good. That equipment is not necessary to be heterosexual,
okay? That is
but it's necessary to be
easier.
Able to reproduce a generation.
No, it isn't. I just told you, Norfolk,
let
if you come to Norfolk, you can reproduce without that equipment, okay? There are now procedures to be able to do. Okay? You don't need all that.
Call,
that's old-fashioned way of doing business, okay, guys? The old-fashioned way of doing the stick and the ball bearing is not a necessary tool any longer.
So anyone... But really the ball bearings are what produce here. What the stick shift shoots.
Well, we're
really
talking
quick
about
we're done
increase.
Here.
I'm talking
there's
about increase the value of men, and now, boy, now we're even less important, aren't we? They don't even need us for anything anymore.
Well,
yeah, they do. Who's going to pay for all the bills?
Yeah, there you go.
I want to ask this question. What do we call this situation where you have a young lady that's been married
life.
For 15 years.
We call it
oh,
life.
Wow. She's been married for 15 years. You know, they have four kids. Now, at 40 years old, she decides to go the other way. So was
well,
she
that's
born
what happened
gay?
On the Kardashians. That's what happened on the Kardashians. And Bruce Jenner was an Olympian, man. He's my idol. He's a decathlete. Okay? If it's decathlete. If a decathlete can do this, anybody can do this, okay? There is no
hey, he can have
no
a better chance
man.
Of winning the high jump now. Nothing will get caught on the bar when he goes up.
Oh, man.
He's
going to
get caught on the bar. We won't get caught on the bar.
All I can say
wow.
is Bruce Jenner can do this. If Bruce Jenner can do this, anybody can do this whenever they want
I would
to
agree.
Do this.
Just
okay?
take money or credit.
And
you
I don't think it's any problem.
It
I don't think it's. I think kids, just like the pictures when I grew up was there weren't any people black and white kissing, you know, there weren't any interracial dating or marriage. That was the picture that people, just like this sexual picture you're talking about, but the times have changed. They're continuing to change. You don't need a stick and ball bearings to produce a child anymore, okay? So guess what? You know, people's jobs are being replaced at McDonald's by robotics. Things like that. So, you know, we've got to retrain ourselves, reorientate ourselves in our thinking, and come up with better solutions that are going to keep us working with each other as human beings.
Hey, you know who the saddest person in the world is, don't you?
Who?
Bruce Kanye Dennis West. He's
a
got
white
two
male.
Mother-in-laws.
Who is that?
Kanye West. He's got two mother-in-laws.
Kanye West has two mother-in-laws. Huh?
He got to deal with three women, his wife and the two other ladies.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the other thing. They don't take the traditional role. He's still the father. He's still the father. He just dresses differently than a standard father.
Just remember, gentlemen.
Does he stand differently?
It's been a fun
he doesn't,
hour.
Does he?
He doesn't
he
call himself mother. He handles things as a man, but he dresses, and he's orientated as a lady.
Remember, as a society, we've forgotten how to drive stick shift cars. So there's a message.
Nah,
in there.
I still got three of them in the garage.
Yeah, I got one too, but most people don't even know how to use them anymore.
When I'm overseas,
I have two sixes.
When I'm in Europe, I drive a 60. Yeah. Bye. Have a good week, guys.
You too.
Thank you,
man. Have a good week, guys.
Listen, guys, it's all about the U, University of Miami.
Just remember
back,
to use your stick shift.
And double clutch.
And double clutch, that's right. Don't burn the discs.
Keep your safety on.
Yeah. And if the engine light goes on, cool down.